Hi, everybody. Welcome to our program. This is English Digest, and I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
We're going to continue talking about Much Ado About Nothing today, which is a pretty famous Shakespeare play. Not his most famous one, but most fans of Shakespeare have read this play, and they do enjoy it. It's not all sad and tragic like Macbeth or Richard III or Hamlet. This one's a bit more fun.
It is fun. It's a comedy. It's also a romance, so it's kind of cute, and it's light. Light meaning it's not heavy and sad and serious. It's just fun. We talked about the plot of the play our first day, and second day we talked, of course, about Shakespeare's background, his history. There are a lot of periods of his life where we don't have much information, so we kind of have to guess at what he was busy doing. Unfortunately, we don't have every day of his life down in some book. It's kind of sad because it would be interesting to know what this fascinating man was up to every day of his life. Very, very talented writer. We call people who write plays playwrights. But oddly enough, if you write for movies, you're not called a screenwriter or a filmwriter. You're called a screenwriter. That's more common because you expect writer, right? Yeah. Playwright's a little strange. It's also spelled differently than you would assume. So today, though, we're going to talk about some of the themes in the play. That's what we do of our day three of our literature units. We talk about what things mean, what we're trying to say about life, at least what the author or playwright wanted to communicate to his audience.
Indeed. And, of course, plays are wonderful because they only give you the dialogue. That's the beauty of drama, and it's also the beauty of Shakespeare because he has such a way with words. So today we're going to return to our featured play, Much Ado About Nothing, and we're going to talk about some of the ideas in this play and why you might enjoy reading it. Here we go. Although Much Ado About Nothing is considered a romantic comedy, it does serve as a reflection of the values of the Renaissance period. The concept of manner and social grace is one important theme. The characters in the play all use sophisticated and witty language during social interactions. However, their strict following of social norms leads to disastrous situations. Claudio separates from Hero without asking her for an explanation when he feels she has cheated on him, primarily because marrying an unfaithful woman would be a stain on his reputation. The theme of deception as a way to advance in society is also a major theme of the play. Sometimes this trickery is used for noble purposes, and in other cases it is used maliciously. For example, when the friends conspire to fool Beatrice into thinking that Benedick is madly in love with her, and vice versa, it shows that deception can sometimes have positive effects. However, Don Juan's attempt to shame Hero depicts the darker side of deception. These examples seem to suggest that deception isn't necessarily about positive or negative motives. Instead, it's a matter of people using it well to create illusions that enable them to achieve goals and get ahead in society. The concept of a woman's honor is also examined during the play. The main example is Don Juan's accusation that Hero was unfaithful to her fiancé. Although she was innocent, the scandal could have ruined her life. This reveals that honor was the defining quality of women during that era. Any woman suspected of acting inappropriately would completely lose her social standing. In addition to affecting the individual woman, it would disgrace her family as well.
Let's take a look at the first sentence, everybody. Although Much Ado About Nothing is considered a romantic comedy, it does serve or act as a reflection of the values that they had during the Renaissance. Aha! Now let's take a look at this term, romantic comedy. It's a little bit of a comedy mixed with romance or love. Nowadays, if you go see a movie that's a romantic comedy, you'll often see them referred to as rom-coms, R-O-M-C-O-M, a rom-com. So if you hear that, you know that people are talking about a romantic comedy. We use that for films more than plays, but here we're talking about a play, and it says here that this play serves or acts like a reflection of the values they had during the Renaissance. There are different periods in history, and the Renaissance is one of them. If you serve or act as a reflection of something, it means you're showing people what it was like. So this play actually shows the public what the values were like during this period, what they thought were important. Your values are how you conduct your life. Are you honest? Are you someone who's loyal? Do you think it's important to work hard? Those are your values.
And this, of course, reflected the values of the Renaissance period. I noticed you said Renaissance period. That's also correct. And in England, you'll hear Renaissance. Those pronunciations are all correct, referring to this period of history when there was some kind of renewal of interest in the arts and things like that. And the concept of manner and social grace is one important theme. Remember, we talked about concepts earlier this month. Concept is a kind of difficult to understand idea. Manner, how you behave. Do you have good manners? Do you say please and thank you? Do you open doors for ladies and things like that? And also social grace. These are all referring to how you behave in society. The kind of things you talk about, the manners you project on people and stuff like that. You're not boring and you don't make weird noises and stuff like I do all the time. I probably would fail in terms of manner and social grace if I were to be growing up in this period.
They had a lot of rules back then for good behavior and polite behavior. It says here the characters in the play all use sophisticated and witty language while they interact with each other. Sophisticated means someone who is probably, they've got a background full of culture and learning. They've probably gone to school. If someone's sophisticated, they probably know a lot about the world. They've maybe traveled a lot. They've met a lot of interesting people. If you're unsophisticated, perhaps you grew up in a small town. You graduated from high school. Don't have a lot of experience with the world. As opposed to someone maybe who grew up in Tokyo or New York or London, and their parents had money, they went to the best schools. Sophisticated. Witty, of course, means you're smart and funny at the same time. And social interactions are interactions between people in society. Maybe you have interactions at a party. Those are social interactions. You talk, you chat, you get to know people. You have activities and events together. Those are interactions.
Indeed. So, yes, you can be prepared to see some rather sophisticated intellectual language when you read this play. But it's good for you because, you know, if you learn this language, you'll be able to impress other people and you will be the life of the party for sure. Now, however, it says their strict following of social norms leads to disastrous situations. That's interesting. So there is a way to behave, and lots of people like to follow those social norms. But sometimes if you're too strict in following those social norms, there could be disastrous situations. There is a downside to being sophisticated. Strict here means you have to do what you're supposed to do. There are no exceptions. If you're in the military, for example, your commanders are going to be very strict. No, you cannot have leave this weekend to go back to Taipei to see your girlfriend. Sorry, that's out of the question.
Uh-huh.
Or you're going to be punished accordingly. You must lie down now and do 50 push-ups. Or maybe your teacher is a bit strict, very severe, and is very, you know, tough with you and doesn't let you get away with things.
That's right. Well, Claudio, remember, he's the guy. He separates from Hero, the girl that he had fallen in love with, without asking her for an explanation. He just heard that she had been unfaithful or cheated, and he believed it. He didn't even ask her whether it was true or not. An explanation is a reason why something is the case. You know, it's kind of crazy. He was in love with her, and he didn't even ask her whether it was true or not. He separates himself from Hiro. So they break up, you could say, or he breaks it off with Hiro when he feels she's cheated on him. Primarily, the most important reason being is that because marrying an unfaithful woman would be a stain on his reputation. Remember, we're talking about what life was like back in the Renaissance period. And if you married a woman who had been unfaithful, it would hurt your own reputation. A stain is some sort of mark. It could be some dirt on a shirt or a pair of pants that you can't get out when you wash it. That's a stain. But a stain on your reputation is something that damages your reputation, how people think of you.
That's what your reputation is, and you don't want to have your reputation stained at all. You want to be an outstanding member of society. And, well, when we continue, we'll talk about some other concepts that are on display in this play. The theme of deception is in there, and woman's honor is also in there. So we'll talk about that in just a second. But right now, we're going to take a time out and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们继续看第十五单元。好，我们提过了这个作品 Much Ado About Nothing， 它的内容提过了 Shakespeare。然后今天我们要谈的，再回过来看这个作品，这个剧作呢，它到底有什么样的重点主题？好，这个作品当然它是一个 romantic comedy， 所谓的浪漫喜剧。那它有反映出那个时代 Renaissance period， 也就是文艺复兴时期当时的一种价值观。那这里有三大方面我们要来探讨，在这一部分呢有三个主题相关的。第一个首先提到的就是他在剧里面呢，他对于社交礼节的概念。好，这个部分这边下面就告诉你说，其实这个剧里面的所有的人物呢，他在进行社交互动的时候，他所用的语言都是 sophisticated and witty。 sophisticated 就是表示它是复杂的，但是还 witty 哦， witty 是表示机智的。那他们当然很严格的遵循当时社会的规范，可是这样子的行为其实也导致了什么样的结果呢？ disastrous situations。 disaster 如果大家知道 D-I-S-A-S-T-E-R 就知道那是灾难，那这个地方 disastrous 是它的形容词，造成了导致了灾难性的情况。当然我们之前已经说过这个故事的内容，你知道说Claudio 他对于 Hiro 这样子并没有给他一个解释，然后呢就决定在婚礼上羞辱他。这个其中其实有个重大的理由，就是说因为对 Claudio 来讲，如果他跟一个不忠贞的女人结婚，这会让他的名声怎么样，留下了污点。所以这边最后才会说 a stain on his reputation。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned and we'll be right back with more Much Ado About Nothing.
Okay, as promised, everybody, we're going to talk about the theme of deception now. A deception is when you try to fool people into believing something. To deceive is the verb there, and deception is the noun form. So is this a kind of deception? Are you trying to fool me into thinking something that isn't true? So this is the theme of deception, but it is used as a way to advance in society. This is also a major theme of the play. And that's what Don Juan was doing, right? He probably had some kind of ulterior motive. He wasn't just having fun with this. He wanted to advance his position in society by using deception to get, to believe that Hiro was cheating on him.
Yeah, and of course if you advance, you move up in some way or you progress. To advance in society means your social status or ranking changes, so that you're somehow more important in society. Now, sometimes this trickery is used for noble purposes. And sometimes it's used maliciously. Ooh, those are good words. Trickery is when someone tries to deceive you using some sort of trick. So trickery, that's a noun. Noble can mean someone who is either a duke or a duchess. They own a property. They have a high social standing. But here it just means virtuous, good. If someone's noble, they are people that you can depend on because they have good values. So if you have noble purposes, they are righteous purposes. They are virtuous purposes. They're good purposes. Sometimes trickery is used to accomplish good things, like to capture criminals. Sometimes we trick them so the police can capture them. But other times, trickery is used maliciously. Malicious is the adjective form of this adverb, maliciously. To be malicious means you are doing something to hurt or damage someone. You intend to cause them harm. So if someone's malicious, they are bad people. So someone could lie to you to maliciously deceive you. They want to hurt you, so they lie to you.
Why would they do that? I believe everybody's so good. But for example here, when the friends conspire to fool Beatrice into thinking that Benedict is madly in love with her, and vice versa, it shows that deception can sometimes have positive effects. So the friends conspire to fool Beatrice. If you conspire, that means you work together to accomplish some kind of end result, but usually it's something bad. To conspire to commit a crime, for example, to work together to pull this thing off, and you're doing something bad. We're going to conspire to rob a bank, for example. And they were doing this, so they were trying to fool Beatrice into thinking, or to trick her into thinking, that Benedict is madly in love with her. And they also tried to conspire to fool Benedict into falling in love with Beatrice. Okay, so that's what vice versa here means. A to B is true, and then B to A is true as well.
Yeah, it's either vice versa or vice versa, which is the Latin pronunciation. I say vice versa. I guess, Tom, you say vice versa. They're both correct. Now, sometimes you can trick people, but the end result or the outcome that you're looking for is a positive one. You're not trying to hurt anyone. And they just wanted these two people to recognize that they were attracted to each other. That's why they were having these arguments. So sometimes deception can have positive effects. However, Don Juan's attempt to shame or embarrass Hero depicts the darker side of deception. If you depict something, you show something to be true. You can depict things as an artist by representing something through your drawing. Or if you're a writer, you can depict a character by the words you choose to use to describe them, right? Mm-hmm. So he wants to embarrass or shame Hero, and that's the darker, the bad or wicked side of deception or deceiving people.
I could say, as an example for depict here, the writer depicted Belgian people as being dirty, smelly, and untrustworthy. So I guess that writer did not like Belgian people at all with such a depiction. Actually, Belgians are pretty cool people. Well, let's move on here. It says, these examples seem to suggest that deception isn't necessarily about positive or negative motives. So here, yes, we're talking about deception. Isn't necessarily about positive or negative motives. Isn't necessarily, I guess just in Chinese, just means bui ding. It's rather complicated to explain that in English. So, yeah, it's not necessarily true. I don't think for sure it's true. Maybe it's 90% true, but these other things should be considered as well.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, you got to take everything into account, perhaps. Your motive is your reason for doing something. What's your motive for flattering the boss? Well, I want to be promoted. So your reason for doing something, especially a reason that's sometimes not obvious or perhaps hidden. We talk about people who commit crimes as having motives. What was his motive for murdering his friend? Instead, we're saying here it's a matter of people using it well, using deception well. that is, to create illusions that enable them to achieve goals and get ahead in society. An illusion is a false idea or belief, or maybe a deceptive or deceiving appearance or impression. Maybe you've created the illusion that you're a very trustworthy friend, but really you're not. Or maybe you've created the illusion at work that you're a very hard worker, but you're not. That's an illusion.
An illusion. You actually look like an angel on the outside, but actually you're rotten to the core. And now let's move on to the final paragraph. It says, another concept here we're going to talk about. In addition to deception, we've got the concept of a woman's honor. Okay, does she have honor? Is she respected in society? Is she looked up to? This is also examined during the play, the concept of a woman's honor. And the main example is Don Juan's accusation that Hiro was unfaithful to her fiancé. As you might expect, if a woman is unfaithful, it will affect her honor. She will probably lose a lot of respect if people find out that she has been shacking up with other guys.
Yeah, the main example is Don Juan's accusation. Your accusation is when you accuse or say someone is guilty of something. It may or may not be true. But Don Juan says, hey, Hiro was unfaithful to her fiancé. Of course, her fiancé is the person she is engaged to be married to. Now, although she was innocent, she wasn't guilty at all. The scandal could have ruined her life. Scandals are things that happen where people are outraged or they're shocked by something you've done that's either morally wrong or legally wrong, especially legally nowadays. For example, maybe a politician has been accused of bribery or stealing, taking money to vote a certain way. That's a scandal. Or if someone has an affair, that's always a scandal. People like to gossip about scandals. And that actually could have ruined her life back then. So you got to be careful when you accuse someone of doing something, always.
Could have ruined her life. She would have had to go someplace and get away and get a job as a dishwasher or something like that, or a waitress or a maid or something, and change her name. And this reveals that honor was the defining quality of women during that era. I don't know if that's so much true anymore, but this does give us a little bit of a history lesson. It reveals or shows us that, hey, if you were a woman worth anything, you had honor. You didn't want to be caught up in a scandal. So any woman suspected of acting inappropriately would completely lose her social standing and would have to get a job as a maid or a dishwasher, like I just said. So yes, if you're suspected of doing something, that means other people think that you have done this. For example, in a company I used to work for, a girl named Angel was suspected of stealing money from the company.
Oh, that's bad. Okay. Well, inappropriate just means doing what is wrong, I guess, or not acceptable. Your social standing is your rank or your status, or social status. You could also say that as well. In addition to affecting the individual woman, Hiro, it would disgrace her family as well. Sounds very much like Chinese culture.
Or any culture.
Yeah. If someone in your family does something that is embarrassing or shameful, of course, the whole family's embarrassed. It's terrible. A disgrace is the loss of your reputation, your good reputation, or respect, because you did something dishonorable. Okay, guys, some more explanations coming straight ahead. That will be with our Chinese teacher.
那我们继续来看第二个声音。第二个主题，其实在这个作品里面要谈的是跟 deception 有关。deception 其实就是欺骗。你用骗人的方式，用欺骗的方式来做什么？ To advance in society， 在社会上求得一个名位职位，求得晋升。好，那谈这个主题的话，其实呢，骗人，这里用到一个字 trickery， 就是欺骗耍花招。你可以用在一种 noble purposes， 你可以是为了崇高的目的。可是有时候你也可以怎么用它，可以用在恶毒的状况，是用不好的，想要恶意使用它，所以这里有个字 maliciously。 好，下面举例，就以故事内容来说，其实呢，我们当时知道 Beatrice 和 Benedict 之间是朋友，让他想要愚弄 Beatrice， 所以他用到一个片语 fool Beatrice into， 好，就是表示要骗人，骗他做出什么事，想要愚弄他，让他以为啊是 Benedict 爱上他。不过呢，当然这个故事这两个人最后其实是有好的结果，两个人真的哎好像哎就在一起了。可是从另外一个角度来看，另外一对，也就是像 Don Juan， 他其实是想要让 Hero 让他没有面子，要让他丢脸。哎，可是他这种行为又是属于一种人性的黑暗面，他是故意要让别人丢脸。那其实这两方面来看，这些例子呢，好像就告诉我们说 deception 其实不一定是正面的动机，也不一定是负面的动机。但是我们要看一下这句话跟 suggest 有关的一个句型，因为 suggest 它一方面是一个命令动词，可是在这个句子里面它又不是了，它这里并不是要别人做什么事，而是它另外一个等于 shows， 也就是暗示，它其实也暗示指示出来说 deception 不一定是正或负的。那我们来看哦，这个isn't 是保持它原来的动词形式，并没有变成原形，所以要告诉大家，看到一个动词的时候要留意它在句子在文章中的解释。以这里来说，它就是等于 indicate， 暗示提示。好，那到了最后这一段呢，我们就要来看这个 much ado about nothing， 还有第三个 theme， 第三个主题。这第三个主题谈到的是女人的名誉。好，那我们知道这里的例子很清楚，就是谈到 Don Juan 他对 Hero 他的指控。那他说啊，他对于未婚夫不忠，可是虽然最后他是清白的，但是这一件事情其实是有可能就毁了他一生。那用这点来看的话，这表示出说 honor这个东西在那个年代里面，它可以决定一个女人的价值。好，我们看到这里有个动词 reveals， reveal 就表示显示显露，其实它的意思也就是相当于 shows 或者是 indicate。 好，那我们知道年代不同，当然意义不同。以那个年代说，你如果啊是有一个女人，她被怀疑她的行为不当，那当然她就相对的会失去到她社会地位。好，我们看到这边这句话里面有一个字是 suspect， suspect 其实本来就是怀疑。那我们知道还有一个句型是，当你怀疑谁做某事，你会说 suspect somebody of doing something。 那我们这边来看看，这里当然any woman 后面省略掉了 who was， any woman who was suspected of acting inappropriately， 这个地方已经省略掉了 who， 省略掉 was， 这边就是一个过去分词咯。那但是它原来句构没有改变， suspect of， 然后加 ving。
Okay, that's all the time we have for today, everybody. We have finished talking about Shakespeare's play, Much Ado About Nothing. Hopefully, we have inspired you to check out this play yourself. You can read a modern translation as well if the original play is too difficult for you. We wish you the best of luck. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.